Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Yona and John, for your poems. And thank you, Joan and Chris, for organizing this series and keeping it going virtually so beautifully throughout the summer. Thank you, Halsey, for hosting us and everyone at White Whale. And for those who don't know, I think Halsey mentioned it at the very beginning. This is their last reading that they're hosting before they move to Miami to start an MFA. So we're just really going to miss you in Pittsburgh, Halsey. So come back often. I'm thrilled to be reading with Yona, Lori, John, and William tonight. And I'm just really grateful to be here with all of you. I'm going to read a poem or two from The Falls, which came out last year. It's my first full-length book. And I'll also read a couple newer poems too. So I've been writing a bunch of new poems about technology. And this poem has an epigraph from an Arcade Fire song. Can we ever get away from the sprawl? People at yellow lights scrolling. People walking downstairs, tapping. People opening doors, clicking. People on toilets scrolling. Clicking my witching rod, pining for escape. People crossing streets, tapping. People watching kids climbing. Clicking people. My pocket-sized trap door, what I touch most in a day. If everyone does it, it's okay. My fingers skitter like wings over 5-inch screens, jitter patterns through minutes. I used to pick up my head, look around. The sprawl is inside me now. People in meetings, scrolling, frowning. People weed whacking, clicking. People jogging, tapping. A guy who used to work for Facebook tells me, they know exactly how to hook you. Don't feel bad about being addicted. So I shouldn't feel guilty for texting when my friend is telling me a story, when my kids are yelling for help, when the light is yellow. People at stoves tapping, people on bikes scrolling, scrolling, people kissing, clicking, people, clicking, scrolling, people tapping, clicking, people. I just have to check this one thing. Scrolling, clicking, scrolling, people. My son tells me how he ends his bad dreams. I blink. Okay, so I'm also really interested in the invisibility of middle-aged women and mothers. And that's what drives this next poem. I've noticed that if a father is with his kids, especially carrying a baby in a baby carrier, he's essentially a god. But a woman is invisible. She's just doing what she's supposed to do. Building an arch at the Science Center. See how the mother hands her son the fake brick he needs. How she contorts her body to hold up the arch. How she reaches for another brick. Almost there, she says, and her back cracks. Come, see how she protects him from his discomfort. I'm hungry, he says, and now she is her too big purse. Band-aids for eyes, granola bar arms that lump in summer heat, a sticky, zippered mouth. See how her leg shivers to stay still as she searches for his snacks, how it burns, how she shifts her thigh bone back a perfect inch. Now she's a stone pillar. She's melted her human pieces into something stronger. Now he leans back harder into her leg, lets out a little breath, focused only on his work, trusting the pillar will hold. Right, a couple more poems. This one is from The Falls. And this poem was inspired by the kind of apocalyptic reality of flying across the country with my daughter alone when she was 6 months old. And she's just a kind of a wild kid, very, very physical, and kind of always was. And the title, Lightning Flowers, is another name for Lichtenberg figures And if you've never heard of what that is, it's the tree branch-like shapes that occur on the skin of people who've been struck by lightning. Lightning flowers. My daughter is finally asleep in my throbbing arms. She grows roots that branch around my skin. The woman next to me on the plane, who let my wild baby grab her rings, lick the zipper of her purse, waving away my apologies, sleeps now too. On her tray table, her highlighted hair, a perfect frosted cake. Lois, married 38 years to her second husband who died recently. He was a good one, she says, a really good one. It changes everything. Lois was surprised I have a second husband too. My first husband, a heavy bell still ringing. My second husband, clear light on green leaves. Maybe it was supposed to be this way. What do I know? In her sleep, my daughter clutches my shirt collar, the edge of a boat in her dream. Through the crack in the seats, I watch a movie, no sound. Tilda Swinton, Rafe, apologies for the sound. I don't know if you can hear. I'm in a beach house with 17 people. I watch a movie, no sound. Tilda Swinton, Rafe Fiennes, and two younger actors eat pretty food, give each other meaningful looks. Then some betrayal and they all go crazy. Tilda glides around in a white sheath, big aviators. Her sleeves billow like cool air, no baby to bounce. We coast into purple black clouds to a forest of lightning trees on the horizon. The last time I saw my first husband, he was wearing a wool jacket, Oxford shoes, living alone in a loft. Just the right amount of silver laced his beard. He seemed happy. I think about my husband at home, the one who said, "You deserve to be loved well." We fly into light, slashing the night skin, burning up the sky, and she wakes. I start bouncing again, sing twinkle, twinkle, little star in her tiny ear, lightning cradling our plane. How I wonder what you are. Branches barreling down, the future, the most beautiful, terrible thing. Okay. So the next poem, the next one's a new one, and this comes from, and Chris actually published this one at Pittsburgh Poetry Review. So thank you, Chris, for giving this a home. Comes from my second poetry manuscript, which I'm very, very slowly writing, which explores social media, attention, and parenthood. And hang on, I'm gonna put these headphones in because I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening out there, but there's 10 children in this house, so it's mayhem. I apologize. Ghost shape. "Mama, I need one more snuggle hug," she says, "even though you've read 3 books, changed her socks twice, found her Gruffalo doll, put a penny in her piggy bank, pulled her hair back in a ponytail, and watched as she ran and leapt onto the bed over and over and did a forward roll on the carpet. You're thinking how you were alone today for 8 minutes, a 4-minute shower, plus the time you lied and hid in the bathroom and scrolled Instagram while your husband broke up a fight. Now you're finally standing outside the door, your body half turned away. Just one more, mama, please. And in the nightlight's time-bending glow, you become the child in the bed. And your mother's ghost shape hangs in the doorway. And you just want one more reassurance against the dark. Mama, stay," she says. And you stay a little longer. And later, while you load the dishwasher, you hope this tenderness erases your mistakes from today. The time you kept scrolling Twitter while she begged you to play. The time you growled in her face and grabbed her arm too hard and scared you both. Okay. And this next one's going to be my last poem. Thank you all for your patience with the chaos in my house. I spent the last year teaching high school English, mostly in a hybrid mode, which, if you don't know what that is, it means half of your students are physically present in the classroom with you, and then the other half of your kids are at home, you know, virtually on Zoom. And this poem comes out of that experience. And just a really quick note, the title of the poem is Chimerical, which means a fantastical or unrealizable dream. And that's derived from the chimera. If you're a Greek mythology nerd, then you'll know this. The chimera is a fire-breathing monster in Greek mythology that has a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail. Chimerical. The brilliant student at the far side of the room raises her hand, a river of random sounds under her mask. I yell, "Can you say that again and really project?" We're 1 month into hybrid and I'm trapped in a corner of the room. My students are weary, waiting to be dazzled. "Tell us, what did you think of the poem?" I say. I wait. The in-person kids shift in their seats, avert their eyes. The virtual kids look down in their Zoom boxes, text each other, "Wait me out." I want to jump up and write on the whiteboard, rip off my mask, walk around the room without worrying if the kids at home can follow. I've become a robot chimera, lions calculating eyes, goats double laptop body, serpent's tail of winding cords. I'm ashamed of my form. Break time. In the hallway, I flip up my mask, guzzle water, slip a snack under the fabric, return to the classroom, trip over the cords, jerk them out of the wall again, make a self-deprecating joke, perch myself in front of two laptops, check input, output, speaker, place my head inside the square, unmute. I wave my hands when I talk, try to keep the kids at home awake with my wide open eyes, my nodding head. Everyone at home, give me a sign of life. Thank you.